This is Britton and this is Moon to Moon. Before I get into the episode here, an episode I'm really excited about, I wanted to share a few updates about things that are going on, things I'm working on, things that I want to share with the world. So the first of these, the most pressing of these, would have to be that my new astrology course, Charting Your Course, a wayfinding journey to access the navigational tools of your birth chart, that is beginning on Wednesday. So we begin. And so I'm hoping to find a few more people. If you're thinking about it, if you've never heard of this before and you're like, wait, what? Please go to my website, brittonlarue.com, and read up about it on the tab for Charting Your Course. And in there, there's a audio recording from me where I talk more about it as well. I think that I cover pretty much everything you really need to know on that page. This is portal one of a series of portals. So this first round that starts on Wednesday is pretty introductory to the language of astrology. And someone who's just glancing at the page may be like, oh, I already know that. I'll just wait and jump in at her next portal or a later portal. But what's really important for me to convey then is that it's a building experience. Like, this round is very deepening and foundational into the language of astrology and into building your own intuitive connection and your intuitive wisdom with these building blocks of the language, that really you can never be like, oh, I'm good, I know everything. Like, there's always more to learn about even the most basic components of this language. I mean, I'm always learning more. And so you have to begin at portal one in order to be able to join in at a later point in the process of learning about reading your chart. So it's really important that people understand that, so there's no misunderstanding. So I encourage you, if you're feeling the call, to read more, to reach out, to let me know if you have any questions or concerns about, you know, what it's going to be. Logistically, this is a course that's going to have, the Portal One will have 5 live meetings that meet on Wednesdays at noon Central Time, Zoom meetings. So the first of these meetups will be like a call to group, and we will really connect in with our highest intentions for wanting to be on that journey. And I will talk a little bit about astrology and what it is and what it isn't, what the chart is and what the chart isn't. And I'm going to speak of the Fool from the tarot as a framing device for the beginning, because tarot is going to be a part of this journey. And then immediately following our meetup, you will receive an email with the first audio and activity bundle, like your first invitation into the material. So you'll have an entire week to work on that. You'll probably want to have at least an hour, maybe 2 hours in that 1 week of time and 7 days of time to practice. The more you practice, the more you deepen your connection to the language. And then the following meetups are going to really be about everybody bringing to the group their experience of working with the material, their realizations, their knowings, because the homework is not going to be about like you memorizing what I tell you these things are. It's going to be about me guiding you and initiating you into your own relationship with this language. So what we do in our meetups are going to be people sharing their own knowings, and together we will like build our own body of wisdom around the language that adds to and supplements and makes more interesting everything that you may have previously thought that you knew about each of these building blocks of the language, the signs, elements, the houses and the plant, the basics of the planets. And then in following portals, we will really be looking at planet by planet each week in your chart. But first, we have to, at like a higher level, really understand what these terms, what these words, these symbolic words, what do they mean? How do they resonate in many different ways? And so it's a journey that it's going to like change your experience of being human, because that's how this language works. The more you deepen into it, the more you have like more language and more tools for being in your human body and living on this planet. At least that's what I found, and that's what people have been finding for the thousands of years that we've been using this language. There's so much more to say, but I'm just going to trust that if you're feeling the call, you will check it out. I think that I said everything. Logistically, yeah, there's the five meetups with four bundles in between of audio and activities to do at home. And then there'll be probably like a week off, maybe 2 weeks off, and then we'll jump into Portal 2 together. And it will just kind of go like that and build. People are already committing to 6+ bundles because they know they wanna commit to this. So it's really exciting. We already have a beautiful group. It's a set of incredible human beings who are seekers with beautiful hearts, and they're smart, intelligent, and inventive, creative people. And I'm excited to see if we can get a few more. Other things going on for me that I would want to share, things that I work on and put all of myself into to give back out to the world, include the new, my Living the Signs Taurus workbook is now ready to ship. It's a beautiful workbook. The workbooks are really resonating with those who invest in them. They're beautiful. They're thoughtful. They're deep. They allow you to deepen into parts of self that you maybe haven't been talking to, because these are not designed for you to buy for your sun sign. They're designed for you to buy all of them. They're designed for you to access all the signs that are within you, because you are all 12 signs, and we usually have several that we're not engaging with in ourselves. So actually buying ones that are signs that like you don't feel a connection to would be ideal. So check out my workbooks on my website. I'm excited to get those into people's hands. And I'm currently writing the Gemini. The other thing I would share is that I've started a series of conversations on Tuesdays. These are casual conversations on the sun, the sign of the lunar cycle that we're in. So tomorrow, Tuesday, we will be meeting at noon CST to finish our conversation about Aries. Even though we're in Taurus season, we have not started that lunar cycle yet. That starts on Wednesday evening. So it'll be our final Aries conversation, and we'll really be looking back at all that this cycle was. I'm going to talk more about that in this episode. So that's something that I'm going to keep going. So you can get the invitation to that, the Zoom link, just by signing up for my newsletter. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy this episode. I hope it brings you gifts to contemplate. And thank you for listening. Cheers. This is a mini episode of Moon to Moon. I'm Britton LaRue. And I just wanted to come in for a short one here, because I want to honor the lunar cycle in Aries that we've just been through, which was a real doozy. I want to take a moment to give it a little something from me, which is to share a reflection that I have about the card in the tarot that is associated with Mars, Aries ruler, the Tower. Before I do that, I want to share a quote from Rainer Maria Rilke. And I want to talk a little bit about what the point is of lunar cycle work. What's the point of living moon to moon? To me, just like a regular gal from Dallas, Texas, I want to share what I appreciate about living in the lunar cycle as it teaches us about healing and becoming closer and closer to our most radiant essential self. And I think that the cards that I want to talk about today in an episode that I will be titling something along the lines of Somewhere Between Devil and Star, and by that I mean the Tower, I think that for anyone listening and who resonates with my voice, some things I want to share about that might be supporting to you. And then I'll tune in a few more days to talk about Taurus. But for now, we are at the end. For now, we are under the dark moon. And there are things we can say and do and honor in that time. So Rilke says, be patient towards all that is unsolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms and like books that are now written in a very foreign tongue. Do not now seek the answers which cannot be given you because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. Shall we do one more time? Be patient towards all that is unsolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms and like books that are now written in a very foreign tongue. Do not now seek the answers which cannot be given you because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. So great. It's got to be like a set of sentences for my whole life. I think what is touching about them for me speaks to what I think living in lunar time can help us with, which is about being better at embracing the questions and living the questions and trusting that we don't have the answers, and even if we did, we wouldn't know what to do with them. And that's hard. I certainly know that. I lived most of my life just trying to get my answers, you know? Like, I need my answers. Give me my answers. I want to see my future. Tell me my future. Just tell me what to do. I'll do what you want me to do. Just give me the certainty. And living in the process of lunar time, which is too great a concept to completely unfold in a mini-sode. I talk about it more in other episodes. I talk about it in my workbook, Moon to Moon, which is currently being prepared for reprinting still. I think I've mentioned that before, but I've been too busy with my other sign workbooks to finish that rewrite. But working with the lunar cycle as a container, as a four-week container for some kind of healing and renewal, some kind of transformational process to help us deepen into who we are by letting go of what is not helping who we are. Round by round by round, we feel better and we notice that we're walking around as less triggered human beings. And part of that process involves learning to not always know the answers, learning to be okay with uncertainty. And so let me just share a little bit of what I wrote in a section of Moon to Moon on that topic as an introduction to what I want to really get into here. In this section, I title it The Mysterious Alchemy of Healing, Regeneration, and Self-Empowerment. And I have a diagram where I show the different phases of the lunar cycle, where the new moon is all possibilities exist, then emergence with renewal, the journey to change, the peak of your will and courage, full moon, culmination, illumination, and fullness, waning into reflection, reorientation, facing fears, discomfort, deprogramming, and finally solitude, rest, and surrender. So when we move into the dark moon that we're in now, we are moving into the surrender and release and rest from all that has been happening since the new moon in Aries, which was March 24th, 2020. I'm going to do a double check on that though, guys. Yeah, March 24th. Wednesday of this week, when we hit the 23rd of April, the 22nd, the evening of the 22nd of April, we have our new moon in Taurus. So we get to go back to all possibilities exist. But for now, I speak from a Pisces moon, but in the next couple of days when you might be listening to this, we will be under the Aries moon, back in the same territory where we began on March 24th. And if you think back then to what you were up to at the end of March there, and everything that has unfolded layer by layer by layer, week by week, day by day, since March 24th, has been a long time. Time is dilated right now while we're all in a process of learning to live the questions now. And so let me just read this section then. The processes of inner and outer regeneration reflect the language and patterns of alchemy. From the ancients through the Renaissance, the alchemists were brilliant tinkerers who sought to understand the nature of change. Before the Enlightenment, metaphysics and physics were married, so to speak. It was all one in the same expanse of knowledge, wisdom. Carl Jung wrote at length about how the psycho-spiritual process of healing is analogous to the processes of alchemical change. If in alchemy you have a base material and a desire to turn it into something else, then likewise, the alchemy of healing is when you move yourself from one state of being into another. I believe that self-healing is possible. I'm still reading my own words. You may have a team of healers and therapists guiding you, but you can also be deeply committed to your own self-healing. What that looks like is alchemical, and it's mysterious. All possibilities exist in the present moment. Let me insert there, we live the questions now, right? Even in this very moment that you read this, that you hear this, you are beginning to shift into new ways of being. Working with the lunar cycle, you name and invite in your most sincere desires. You give yourself permission for it. You connect with your will and say that it will be so, And then you commit, you show up, you prove to yourself that you're here for this life. Along the way, you also confront yourself at your discomforts and vulnerabilities. You face the ways in which you self-sabotage, where you have fear and the stories of your insecurities. You wrestle with your dragons. The space of all this change happens inside what I like to think of as a beautiful chrysalis. You come apart. It can be gnarly and goopy. But this is the process of getting remade. The idea is that by the end of each cycle, you feel regenerated in some way, subtle or huge, ready to re-emerge with the next new moon. By Britton LaRue. Moon to Moon Workbook, coming soon, 2.0. Now, seriously though, it's definitely been a goopy, gooey, and funky, gnarly time. I don't know who hasn't been bumping up against their insecurities, their dependencies, their triggers, their dragons, right? Their, even we might say, demons. When we're, like most of us, kind of stuck in one place and having to slow down and having to like really look at yourself and look at your life and face like the potential to really not have the answers. Really like very, very few, answers. Lots of questions. So much uncertainty. That it's just such a magnified kind of chrysalis, and it's so collective. And so I think it's a really great lunar cycle to not skip over honoring, because whatever your dear listeners' personal experience has been since March 24th, I invite you to see that, you know, this has been like a really profound time for you to be in a kind of alchemical change and to bump up against yourself in ways that really can create beautiful liberation from past forms of self, as hard as it may sound. Much of what you get used to when you work with the moon is working to recognize signals of discomfort as being invitations for growth and healing. And so for some people, this is like part of your practice, right? And then for other people, I know myself, like I always saw discomfort as something to like run to the hills away from, like most of my life. This, like me saying this is like not something I read and like I'm spouting, like I've had to learn this in a hardcore way. And I really do, I really did come to embrace discomfort as just, oh, here I am again being invited into healing a trigger of some kind. And I really have come to see my triggers all as like my friends who are indicating areas where something from the past, some kind of story, is ready to be looked at. And that's what working with the lunar cycle can offer you. And so since this podcast began, which I don't even know, I really have a poor sense of time right now. That's why I'm leaning on the lunar cycle to help me get it straight. I believe I started this podcast around or right before maybe the lunar cycle began. A lot's come forward. You know, it's been a very like creative time in my life in many, many ways. It's been like a really fun time in many ways. It's been very, very, very uncomfortable and triggering in many ways. It's also been very like just funky. Like I almost don't even have adjectives to talk about how it is because I don't think I will really understand it for a while. I'm just going to live in the questions. But what I've been trying to offer over the course of this period is a way to deepen into the language of astrology and the tarot in ways that might be helpful, because these languages persist and they're resilient. And I'm down right now for any kind of like anchoring, ballast, anything I can lean on, right? So my guess is other people are too. And so I have shared things about Aries. I've shared things about Mars. I've shared things about the Emperor. And I've been holding conversations on Tuesdays on Aries. This is ongoing and it will keep going into Taurus. All you need to do is be a subscriber to my newsletter and you get the link to join. It's a great space to just talk about living these signs in a human way, especially as we're trying to live them in a set of questions, right, instead of answers. So love the group. Thank you if you're listening, if you're someone who joins me. I love you and I'm welcoming to all. Okay, so something that I haven't talked about yet in the context of Aries here that I'm honoring at the end of this lunar cycle in Aries that I will never, ever, ever forget, and neither will you. I have to discuss the Tower because the Tower is the card in the tarot that we associate with Mars, and Mars is the planet that is the ruler of Aries, which you know if you've been listening, or if you know because you just know these things, or you know because you have my Aries workbook or whatever. So the Tower is a card, if you don't know the traditional imagery from the Smith Rider-Waite deck, the Tower is a pretty unsettling card. It shows a tower and lightning is striking it. There's fire. There's a storm. There's a crown, like a regal crown, corona, flying off the top of the tower. There are two human figures falling face first out of the windows, we presume. They're midair. They don't know when they're going to land. They don't know what's going on. There's these like kind of like yellow sparks everywhere. We don't really see the ground. We don't see what supports the tower. So it's a card that relates to when we're in times of our life that have a lot of abrupt change that feels really out of our control. You know, and like we can have really external tower times where like everyone's aware that we're having a tower time. Like when my dad died of a heart attack, I was very publicly in tower. Everyone knew I was in tower. You know, going through a divorce, going through like really big shifts, like you have to close your business. You have to sell your house. Just big times where it feels like life just suddenly like came in like a lightning storm and took your life away as you knew it. And it's out of control. It's out of control. Like these figures, they're flying. It's just, they don't know how the landing is going to go. They don't know anything. It's violent and it's aggressive feeling, which is part of its relationship to Mars. There's something about the card that's very Plutonian as well. In that sense, Tower also works really well with Mars's other sign of Scorpio, which we now also associate with Pluto. So sometimes we have Tower in an internal way, right? Like you can privately know that this Like you can be undergoing a huge shift in yourself. And it might be something that people that are close to you are aware of. They can tell there's something unsettled and there's something churning in you. But like maybe like the people in carpool, you know, the people in your just day-to-day life, like they may not know that this is going on. So Tower doesn't have to be like a public massive change in your life. But the medicine of Tower is always the same. It's like you can't really go back. The tower is crumbling. In some big or small way, whatever you built for your ego to live in is being reshaped. It's being remade. And it's really out of your control. Like you kind of just have to live through it, and only time will be able to help move through the process of what the answers are. You just live your questions now when you're in Tower. Last year, Tower was my card of the year, like as in I pulled it, not as in it was like a birth card or a year card rather. And I was kind of like, you know, understandably nervous about it because I had been having a set of years that were Tower, and it was like, I really don't want any more Tower. I'm really done with Tower. You know, I'm ready to be in the next card, the Star, which is much more soothing looking. But the Tower did come, and it was mostly internal. And what it felt like, and we all have this, is when we feel like suddenly we see our past, or we see a relationship, or we see ourselves, and it's like it had been there all along and we just chose not to look at it, and it's extremely uncomfortable. It can be highly excruciating to face oneself in these ways sometimes, but as I spoke about earlier, I feel that in that discomfort and in the not knowing that I was able to sit with it and to just be with it and to let its stories speak to me and let the stories release their grip on me. Now, they always had a grip on me. It was just unconscious, right? So it's like the unconscious or the unseen is now conscious, and that's hard to deal with, you know? And so collectively, of course, we're like in a Tower experience in a mass way, and that looks a certain way that everyone is like reflecting back to each other, like, what does your quarantine look like? This is what my quarantine looks like, you know? Like we're collectively in a Tower, but then you have to know that everyone, because of the experience of the external Tower, is then also experiencing the, like their own very personal and very unique micro Towers and their own hidden Towers that aren't on social media, you know? And this is like the tenderness, and this is the precarity, and this is why it's for me been really unsettling, like how to know how to show up for other people when you just know that they're holding a lot and you don't want to say anything that can be offensive or triggering. But at the same time, what I'm coming to learn is ultimately we just still show up for each other, and we still listen, and we still hold the space with compassionate hearts for each other. And we don't have to have the right words. We don't have to say the healing thing or the marvelous thing that makes everything all better, because right now we're just in Tower and we don't know how long we're going to be in it or what's on the other side of its unfoldings. But we can be compassionate and gentle and patient with each other when we sense the prickliness of people really, really working through their own personal as well as collective tower. It's a lot to handle at a time. It's feels very violent, you know, in those ways. And, you know, Mars rules pointed objects. It's like it strikes, you know, with its point. And that's that lightning that's hitting the tower. There's this kind of like strike that has happened that we're all still really like in that sense of what the F, you know, and recovering, like, am I okay? Is this okay? Are we all right? Like, I don't think any of us even know what's, you know, how to analyze it yet. We don't have to have words. We don't have to have the right thing to say. We can just still show up to listen to each other and trust that if we lean into living the questions, that the questions themselves that are coming forward for us, like, will I still be able to da da da? In those things, those questions, are you okay? How are you? In the questions we ask each other, in the questions we check in with ourselves, how am I doing? You know, checking in with your children, just like, hey, how are you? You know, just really looking after each other in our questions, I think could be a way to lean into not knowing the answers, because in the questions, there's some really special information for us about what actually matters and what we really want. So the tower comes between the devil and the star, which is significant astrologically in the sense that the devil is the sign that we associate with Capricorn, and the star is the sign that we associate with Aquarius. And it is this kind of territory that is the late latter part of Capricorn and the beginning part of Aquarius, where a lot of the astrology of right now in 2020 is happening. And so I think that Tower's positioning between the devil and the star is not only just like in a generic and general way, really interesting to think about, helpful to think about as we work through this idea of being in Tower and how this whole lunar cycle was a Tower cycle and will probably continue to have Tower cycles. But it also just lights up like, well, what is the medicine of that ordering? You know, because the tarot is a symbolic language that was exquisitely designed to provide healing in its parts. So, you know, the devil, in which we see a devil-like figure sitting on top of some kind of like stump or I'm totally blanking on a word for it. That's okay. I'm cool with not being perfect right now. Then there's a male and a female figure that both are tethered or chained to the stump that the devil sits on. And so the important thing about the devil is the devil speaks to where we are like chained or tethered in some way to structures of thought, structures of our attention, structures of our folk, like our consciousness, that are not helpful to us. And so the devil in the tarot is actually like a really exciting card to be in, because it means that you're on the path towards liberating yourself from what chains you, what tethers you, what self-sabotaging, limiting beliefs are holding you back. And so in a way, it's like by working through some of that discomfort of like, facing our devil, you know, it's just like, oh yeah, I still got some more liberating to do there. Like, how am I being hard on myself now? You know? So, you know, something like that's been coming up for me is this month, this feeling of like, what if I can't adapt? What if I can't be relevant? You know, and then if I would go on social media or listen to a podcast and someone would be so eloquent right now, just this feeling of like, yeah, it's true. I don't say anything of value and I have nothing to offer anyone. You know, like the brain goes to these places of like, I'm never going to be that good. I should just give up, you know. I giggle because this is just like this little like Capricorn devil in me that's just trying to sabotage me off my path, you know, with just so much self-doubt and invalidation and such certainty that I'm unworthy. You know, it's just like, oh, right, just jump straight to worthless. Just that's my devil, you know. That's the devil in me, is I work with narratives around like never being good enough, like never smart enough, never articulate enough, never valuable enough, like forget it, don't even pay me. I'm worthless. You know, my brain goes there. And everyone has these like these devil things, right? Like where we should be better at this, or we should have done this, or we should da, 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 da. It's this inner critic that we work with, which is that's the devil. That's working in the devil. And the tower fall, the tower comes after devil. Because it's like as you begin to liberate yourself from unhelpful patterning, you kind of come into like a holy S, like my life's changing. Like if I no longer subscribe to da 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 da, then my life's gonna have to change. I'm gonna have to change how I do things completely if I'm no longer gonna be married to a narrative that I'm a victim. Or if I decide that I'm no longer going to blame so-and-so for my failures, that means I'm going to have to change because I'm going to have to like dig into my personal agency and take back my power. And then that's all tower two. It's tower to be in limbo between ways of being. To be in limbo between ways of being. Does that mean we shouldn't do it? Does that mean we should just go back to the chains? Is it better to be tied up to the devil that we know? But we have to go through tower. We have to go through the like, holy S, I've never lived like this before. I don't even know what this means. I don't know how to be in my own skin and not have that narrative ruling my life. But that's part of what tower is too. And that's really when we can affect our own tower. Because like tower is often from an external source, but it can often be because we decided to liberate ourselves. And so guess what? You liberate, now your tower has to be rebuilt in some way. If you decide that you are no longer going to have a limiting belief about yourself, like that your voice is worthless, then there's a whole lot about the tower of your life that's going to have to be taken down because part of your life is built around the idea that you're worthless. And so does that mean the tower is bad? Does that mean the tower is wrong? And this is when we lean on the Mars in us that gives us our agency and our power and our will to see ourselves in the world in new ways and the bravery and the courage and the determination to do it. So I say yes to tower, you know, yes to changing ways of beings that will be empowering and regenerating. It's really about the narrative that we have about what the tower is. it's really about the framing device that we use in our mental model about the tower. Is it a disaster zone in which, you know, we're all gonna die? Or is it a profound space of living the questions now and seeking through our questions a different way forward? And it can be both, right? There's no one way in the symbolic language. In symbolic language, many meanings can coexist, and this is okay. So after the tower, what happens is the card ruled by a square Aquarius called the Star, with a very different vibe to it. I hope you'll Google these if you don't know the images. But in this picture, we have a very naked lady who's come to a water source and has vessels and is pouring water in and out of the vessels and watering the earth, as well as pouring it back into the source of the water. And then the sky is totally illuminated with massive stars. There's more than one star here. So there's this cosmic energy, this cosmic presence, this divine presence that is overseeing the woman's actions, which is all about nourishment, refreshment, deep, deep healing, deep regenerating with the source of life, like the water bearer that is Aquarius. And so what's after the star is when we allow ourselves to deeply heal as long as we need to, and we slow it down and connecting into cosmic consciousness and connecting with like deep space time, connecting with your spiritual guides, the source that you trust in that is taking care of you, to help you trust that you will process, you will integrate, you will let move through you all of the healing waters that need to, so that you can be regenerated. So it's definitely a source that has to do with regeneration, which is, of course, a word I was using earlier to talk about what we can receive from the lunar cycle. So I feel very much that these cards express in many ways so much about what this lunar cycle in Aries has felt like for many of us, as it's in its many meanings, its multivalence. And that we can't forget that what comes after the tower is the star. And at any point, and whenever we're asking the right questions, that is when we are reaching for the next card. That is when we are reaching for the star. Even asking the question, what do I need right now? Or to someone we love, what do you need right now? How do you feel? How are you? These really powerful questions are what get us to star. In panicking that we don't have the answers in the tower, we are kind of stuck in tower, you know? So the way to the next steps here have to do with figuring out what we most need to regenerate ourselves, because we are not who we were. We never are. That's what's great about working with the lunar cycle, is all possibilities start over again at every new moon, and like we're like new again. And we know that we're new because as you get practice, you notice in the rhythm of the lunar cycle that you're changing, and you become okay with changing, because changing is really the only sure thing. And that's one of the biggest medicine teachings the lunar cycle gives you. So closing out then this lunar cycle in Aries, what I wish for everyone is some time for some deep contemplation about what has come up from the devil, what has this tower experience brought forward in terms of questions, and how might you lean into the star as like what's on the horizon for us as we move from different tower states, and there'll be many of them, I believe. So please reach out if you have any thoughts, questions, or comments. Thank you for listening. Wishing you all the best here at the end as you let go and surrender this cycle so that you can make lots and lots of space for some beautiful new moon and Taurus cycle energy coming up soon. Cheers.